Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences at the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Harding.
Thanks, Bruce. It's a pleasure to speak to you.
As part of a swine innovation pork session focusing on the microbiome held in conjunction with the 2020 Banff Pork Seminar, you provided an overview of pig gut health challenges from birth to market. First of all, just how varied are the potential disease challenges that affect the gut that can be encountered throughout the life of the pig?
That's a very good question. There are a number of diseases that we see affecting commercial pigs. I largely tend to categorize them into pigs or into diseases that affect the young pig versus diseases that affect the older pig. So in my presentation today, I spent some time looking at the individual diseases of suckling pigs and then of grow finished pigs, and then the nursery falls really in between. And in each of those two major categories, suckling and grow finished, there are four or five individual pathogens or pathogens slash diseases that are of concern and cause diarrhea of varying severity and varying types.
How do levels of susceptibility to specific pathogens or conditions evolve as the pig grows and develops? And what are the key factors that will influence that susceptibility?
Susceptibility changes to individual pathogens, and I'm not sure we really understand the reason for that. But certainly in the young suckling pig, the diseases that we are most concerned about would be the E. coli's, so colibacillosis, rotavirus, Clostridium perfringens, Clostridium difficile, coccidia, and then in obviously some herds, PED or TGE. But those are quite different than the diseases we see in the grow-finished pig, which are really related to Lawsonia and Brachyspiras and Salmonella. So just different diseases affect different ages. And I suspect part of that is because the pig's microbiome is changing as it ages. Its diet is changing as it ages, as well as its immune system is changing as it ages.
What are the key strategies that are being focused on today to prevent exposure to disease or to reduce the pig's susceptibility to it?
Well, I think I like to take a holistic approach to controlling diarrheic diseases or enteric diseases. I think we are often too quick to pick up a bottle of antibiotics and think that's going to solve everything. And I think if there is a silver lining in the PED outbreaks that we've experienced in Canada, it is that, I think out of that, we've learned to be much better at biosecurity to begin with, to prevent some of those disease introductions. And then I think we've also learned to be better managers because of the cleanup procedure that follows PED outbreaks, kind of highlight some of the areas of weaknesses that things that we've kind of overlooked in the past or just haven't done as well as we probably should. So by far, when you look at susceptibility, biosecurity has got to be forefront. There are certain diseases which you should be able to keep out of the farm. PED, TGE would be, the certainly highest on my list. But as well, swine dysentery caused by Brachyspira hyodysenteriae is another disease that I think, what I'm thinking today is that we should still be trying to keep that organism out of our farms. There are a slew of other diseases, pathogens that I think are inherent to all farms. And what we need to do is, reach into our toolbox of good management, nutrition, and other factors to try to minimize the likelihood of those pathogens causing severe disease on our farm.
Why and how has the level of attention being paid to gut health within swine production increased so much recently?
I think it's increased because enteric disease is increasing in prevalence in farms. The reason for that, you know, I'm not entirely sure, but certainly diseases such as PED and BED, which has, you know, had major effects on certain regions of the country, are certainly bringing up the forefront of some of these diseases. But in spite of that, we're seeing the emergence of some other diseases as well. So, for instance, swine dysentery has emerged over the last 10 years. We've seen Lawsonia. 20 years ago, we didn't talk much about Lawsonia. But now it's a common disease in our farms. So I think in some ways, diseases are becoming more complex because our farms are becoming more complex and larger. We're superimposing on this removal of antibiotics from farms. Certainly growth promotion antibiotics have been removed now, and everybody's being a lot more judicious about using feed and water medications. So I think overall medication use is going down, and that will certainly have an impact. And we could see diseases that are surfacing there as well. And then I think the other factor in the industry is probably just this whole economies of scale, that our farms have gotten bigger, pen sizes have gotten bigger, staffing levels have reduced, cost control has become much more of an issue. Diets have become a little bit more complex in times. We've got mycotoxins in various parts of the country. So there's lots of different factors that have come, you know, over the last decade or so that are contributing to higher levels of enteric disease.
What role does the gut actually play in the overall health and productivity of the pig? How has that evolved, and what are the key factors there?
Well, you obviously have to have a happy gut if you're going to have a happy, healthy pig that's growing fast. So, you know, whether that's due to just the digestive processes and the absorption of nutrients, right? You know, I think the gut has to function in a proper manner just to have the basic physiology there. But in addition to that, you know, I think anything we do to alter the microbiome or to introduce a pathogen, we not only impact the basic nutrient absorption and digestion potentially, but we also now put that pig into a situation where it has to repair any damage, or it has to bring the microbiome back into kind of an equilibrium. So I think there's multiple layers and multiple complexities with gut health in general that kind of relate to how the microbiome relate to the host and how the basic physiology at the cellular level work, as well as the impact of all of this on just the overall immunity of the pig. So it's a very complex system, and I think anything that we want to do, I think maintaining gut health is important because it is so complex. Once you know, not functioning properly, as we all know, we've been there, we just want it to come back into stability at all times.
How effective have strategies to maximize gut health been, and what have been the factors there?
So I think, you know, some of the factors we look at, you know, proper management, sanitation, minimization of stress, hygiene, clean out, you know, those are fundamental factors that every farm does on a daily basis and generally does very, very well. You know, can we make improvements? Of course, we can always make improvements within each of the systems. And I encourage producers never to forget the basic management techniques. You know, and similar to that is basic nutrition. And I mean, we provide excellent nutrition to our pigs on our farms. We have very well qualified nutritionists that are doing our diet formulation. So those are fundamental parts of providing good gut health. Specific to the disease side, you know, what can we do? Well, I think vaccination, there are vaccines on the market for some of the diseases. So I think if you had a choice between an effective vaccine or treating with antibiotics, you should always go with the effective vaccine, provided we have, you know, obviously cost control there and we can afford to do that. Antibiotics, you know, are very, very important to us. We need them in the future. And what we don't want to do is abuse that privilege to use them today, because the more we use antibiotics, the more resistance will develop. So we need to make sure we maintain our antibiotic toolbox as broad as we possibly can, and it is shrinking every day. Then obviously there's some new in the future techniques that maybe something will come of. So microbiome falls into that category. As we do more research on the microbiome, we'll hopefully understand a bit more about what the important core portions, species of the microbiome are, and perhaps how to manipulate the microbiome in our favor, and what we should do and what we should not do to disrupt that microbiome. So I think that's very important. And then there's another whole aspect of perhaps, as we develop more understanding of what resilience to disease means in the pig industry, we'll be able to look at various tools that will actually increase resilience to enteric diseases and other diseases, and do that through better breeding program strategies at the genetic supplier level.
What should we be watching moving forward, and why?
Yeah, moving forward, I think antibiotics are certainly, they're going to be under scrutiny. There's no question about that. Whether that's coming from society or, agriculture, this issue of resistance is not going away, and it's very, very critical, both in terms of what antibiotics we will have available to treat pig diseases, as well as the antibiotics we'll have available to treat humans. And I think we have to all be very, very concerned. That's a real problem. And I think it's one of the big ones we have to address. But in the future, I think the things that I'd be looking for particularly would be, the microbiome. I think the microbiome is like another organ. So it's very important. There's more bacterial cells than cells in our own body. It's something that we just have to have a much better understanding of. And the role of the microbiome from everything from immunity to gut health to nutrient digestion absorption, et cetera. I think it's really a new frontier, and we're just really starting to even understand what the microbiome is in a pig, let alone, what it does and how important it is. So I think over the next, decade, I would be hoping for, some more clues to both what the microbiome is and what a good microbiome is, and perhaps what a bad microbiome is, and what we can do to move from, bad into better and into good microbiome. And we largely talk about the gut microbiome, but we can't forget the fact that there's a microbiome in the reproductive tract and one in the respiratory tract as well. So they all kind of go hand in hand.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think sometimes our expectations are far in excess of what the research data will allow us to, say as fact today. And I think the microbiome falls into that category. We really don't understand very much about it at all. So I think producers, need to be aware and need to be thinking that in a pig and in a pig barn, there is a microbiome that is inherent to their production system. It may be different in their system than a different farm, which is fine. We may find that there is no, one good microbiome. It could be that we just need lots of diversity, and it's redundant enough that it'll look after itself. So I think producers need to be aware that there is lots of talk about the microbiome. Certainly need to be leery about taking any specific recommendation today and adopting it, because we're just not there yet. And I think be very cautious about novel products that may end up on their doorstep saying this product will do this to your microbiome or that to your microbiome. But the research just isn't there at that point in time. We're really at the infancy stage, and it's going to take a number of years to decades to truly understand how it integrates with gut health and just health of the pig in general. So just stay tuned. I would say continue to learn about it and gather what information you can, and eventually we'll come up with some recommendations that we hope are meaningful and make valid improvements.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce. It's been a pleasure.
Our guest has been Dr. John Harding, a professor in the Department of Large Animal Clinical Sciences at the University of Saskatchewan's Western College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.